This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
It's that athletes are role models. Whether we choose to see them as role models or not, they are. And if they're going to be role models, then we should care what they're modeling. And that goes for Tom Brady, that goes for Bill Belichick, that goes for Jim Brown, that goes for Kareem, that goes for Michael Jordan. And I think we have the, not just the right, but the necessity to be critical.
It's been a nightmarish week. The new president has kicked off his reign with a series of illegal and immoral executive orders and a set of preposterous appointments. Every day I wake up and remember that this is really happening. Personally, I find myself looking to the upcoming Super Bowl more and more for solace and distraction. You see, my beloved New England Patriots will be playing against the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday. But wait, what's that you say? Patriots quarterback Tom Brady's shine is being tarnished by an association with the unqualified, unscrupulous, pathological piece of crap occupying the Oval Office? Say it isn't so. Today on Sea Change Radio, we're having a Super Bowl special of a sort. My guest is Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation magazine and host of Edge of Sports podcast, best known for his articulate treatment of the intersection of sports and politics. We talk about the Brady-Trump connection, and more broadly, about the role of athletes in our political discourse. Will Zirin sour me on my team? Stay tuned and find out. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Dave Zirin. Dave is the sports editor at The Nation magazine, as well as the host of the Edge of Sports podcast. Dave, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you after being a fan of your work for so many years. Somebody else I've been a fan of for so many years are the New England Patriots, and they are in the Super Bowl. And I know this is an environmental show, but a lot of Patriots fans are in a quandary because of people like you who've said that the Patriots and their leaders like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are Trump supporters or friends, and it puts us at loggerheads. Why don't you first summarize, if you will, the most recent piece you wrote for The Nation called "Yes, Tom Brady's Friendship with Donald Trump Matters." Why does that matter?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say I don't think it's me putting Patriots fans in a quandary. I think it's Bill Belichick, Bob Kraft, and Tom Brady who are putting Patriots fans in a quandary. And that's an important starting point because Boston's really been remarkable in the last week. I mean, there have been three demonstrations in Boston in the thousands. And the one on the march, the day of the Women's March, I mean, it was hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, the aerial shots of the marches in Boston are incredible. So it's really like a center of anti-Trump sentiment, while at the same time, people are going to be, of course, you know, rooting for the New England Patriots. And you've got the holy trinity of celebrity Trump supporters. You know, celebrities tend not to like Donald Trump, which is, I'm sure, burns him up because he's been a celebrity stalker his entire adult life. And yet here is, you know, Bob Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, who was there, was a money backer of Trump and was there on inauguration weekend. Bill Belichick, who famously or infamously, depending on your perspective, wrote this very fulsome letter to Donald Trump right before the election, which Donald Trump read out loud in New Hampshire in an attempt to win some New England states. And then there's Tom Brady, of course, where it's been this drama for, you know, over a year, really, as soon as people saw Make America Great Again red cap in his locker. And so one, and which another thing that Donald Trump trumpets at every turn. And so there are a couple of starting points here. You asked about the article. The first argument that I make is that these aren't passive bystanders to this electoral process. You know, it would be one thing if they were. Then I really do think it would be a different discussion. But these are folks who have been used in Donald Trump's speeches, used as a way to sort of deodorize his own agenda. You know, if Tom Brady likes me, how bad can I be? And I think it's really important to call that out. If Tom Brady's not going to call it out, then we have to. You know, he's not saying Donald Trump should stop mentioning me, and Bill Belichick is certainly not saying that. All they're saying is, why is it a big deal? So what I'm saying is that, yeah, it's a big deal. So that's the first thing. The second thing, and this is, you heard this when I was on this morning with those right-wing yappers, I didn't know they were right-wing, on WEEI, is this question about Donald Trump and racism. I mean, I think it's a fact that Donald Trump is a racist. You know, it's like you can look at actual policy, things that he said, and say, this guy is a racist. It's not an opinion, it's a fact. And of course, you know, the people I was talking to were like, oh, that's just your opinion. He's not a racist. And they were like, what's so racist about trying to keep Muslims out of this country? What's so racist about building a border wall? So they weren't even, we weren't even operating from the same starting point. But if you do accept that, that Donald Trump espouses racial policies, has a white nationalist right there next to him in the White House, and that this is a serious problem, then you have to look at Tom Brady and say, look, man, you have built your career on a league that's been built on a foundation of black labor. 67% of your teammates are black, that these things actually matter. And so that's the point. That's the point of the article that I was trying to make, you know?
And I understand you try to write about the intersection between sports and politics. And sometimes it seems like a leap for some because politics and sports don't often mix, but they are part of our cultural fabric and they're part of our national discussion. A lot of sports fans, they want sports to be an escape, but you approach it differently.
Which was so hilarious about talking to the right-wing guys, because one of their responses was just about how attacks on Muslims are a hoax. And they were tweeting stuff throughout the day about how it was all big, these are all hoaxes. Now, they're not all hoaxes. The Southern Poverty Law Center is tracking this stuff. But if your response to this is to say, stop mixing sports and politics, Islamophobia has nothing to do with this because all these attacks on Muslims are hoaxes, well, that's kind of political.
Sure. We're talking about Kirk and Callahan, Jerry Callahan and Kirk Minahan in Boston. You're not going to get any argument from me about Donald Trump being an odious human being on every level and racist. That's just the tip of the iceberg. But let's talk about the connection then with Tom Brady's responsibility. First of all, he never endorsed Trump, and Belichick never endorsed Trump either. And while they did not distance themselves from this guy, this was a friend for over a decade, a very wealthy businessman who was able to cultivate friendships with celebrities like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady because he owned fancy hotels, private jets, golf courses. He was a celebrity himself until just a year ago. So this happened very quickly. So I think it's different than somebody who may have been an acolyte of
Ted Cruz
or Ronald Reagan when he was governor of California and he became president. I don't think a lot of people took Trump seriously, yours truly included. But it sounds pretty obvious from Tom Brady's answers to all of these questions, and he's been peppered with this, is that he doesn't know or care about politics. And that's kind of where the onus lies, in your opinion, is that he should care about politics. But unfortunately, 75% of our country didn't vote for our current president. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't care about politics. We could look at it that he has a responsibility and he's a star, but there's a lot of Americans who don't care or know anything about politics.
Well, yeah. And I think you made the argument really well just now. I mean, the fact of the matter is he's not just a celebrity jet setter anymore. I mean, he now not only is, I mean, I grew up in New York City, so I've had Donald Trump in my face for 30 years. And so I've seen this guy's racism up close for 30 years as well from the Central Park Five case. And that's when I was just like a little kid to seeing this, like it was like the shocking spectacle of him calling for the death penalty.
Oh, it's just horrendous. If our listeners don't know what this is, maybe you could summarize that real quickly.
Well, sure. Central Park Five case, five teenage kids, black, who were accused of raping a woman in Central Park. They spent time in jail. They were, according to their own statements, abused by police and really had whole sections of their lives taken away from them. They were later exonerated by DNA evidence. And not only did Donald Trump whip up all this hatred against them at the time, taking out a full-page ad calling for their execution. But recently, when he was asked about it during the presidential year, he said that he still believed them to be guilty, which is such an obscenity if you think about it. And it actually, I think that was a sneak preview of the whole alternative facts approach of this White House, that facts really don't matter if they don't fit the narrative that Donald Trump has constructed, because he can't stand the thought of losing, just like he can't stand the thought that he lost the popular vote by 3 million votes. And sure. It's just this disgusting human being. Now, here's the thing about that. He's a disgusting human being. If Tom Brady wants to count him as a friend, he's going to be asked about that, because he happens to live in this world where his fame is, you know, dependent not just on black teammates, like I mentioned before, but on a fan base that, you know, 45% are women. We just had this huge march, women's march. I mean, people want to know about this. And also, Tom Brady is pretty sort of standing alone on this. I mean, there have been a lot of people, and I could name them, like people who counted themselves among Donald Trump's celebrity coterie, who, when they saw the policies he was espousing, were like, screw this guy. I'm walking away from this. I don't want to be around this. This is disgusting. And that's why, you know, they didn't show up at his convention. They didn't show up at his inauguration. I mean, Billy Joel played at his wedding and then said, no, I would never vote for that guy. I mean, so this question does linger around it about Tom Brady and the ramifications of this friendship.
I understand. You think it's fair game, and he is. He's a public figure. I have no problem with you writing the article, and I agree with almost everything you write, but this one really kind of got my goat, I think, because I have biases towards Boston sports teams, and you do not. You already said you're from the New York area. I think you're a Giants fan. Is that right? New York Giants fan as you grew up?
I mean, I was raised a Jets fan.
That's even worse.
No rivalry with the Patriots. First of all,
I mean, we talked about Robert Kraft. Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets,
it's disgusting.
One of Trump's biggest bundlers. He was just made the ambassador to the United Kingdom because of all the money he raised for Trump. So I don't impugn any Jets fan for rooting for their team because their owner's gross.
I impugn all these owners. I mean, other than the Packers, who are fan owned. I mean, that's part of the problem is, like, if you're going to pick your NFL team on the basis of who the owner is, you're going to end up a Packers fan.
Or just watching this very violent sport where these people end up with brain damage and the players don't have guaranteed contracts. And there's just so many things to be embarrassed about if you're a fan of this game. But I am. What can I say? I've been rooting for the Patriots since the year before Tom Brady was born, 1976, and I'm sticking with them.
And that's definitely, just to be clear, though, it's like, I mean, that's part of the problem. I know we take these things very personally when it's sports and teams, particularly teams we grew up with. But the article I wrote, I mean, this isn't about impugning Patriots fans. This isn't about impugning the Patriots logo. Was it Patriot Pete or whatever? It's because, I mean, all rooting for all sports teams is irrational.
It's Pat Patriot.
Oh, Pat Patriot. Sorry.
It's okay. No, I understand, but you have to also understand how social media works. Pretty much everyone outside of New England hates the Patriots. So if you're a Patriots fan, articles like that are used as, see, this is why your team sucks. This is why you shouldn't be rooting for these guys. How do you defend this? You know, that's kind of, it gets pushed back to us as like we are somehow responsible for the political views of the quarterback of the team I root for.
I'll just say I do believe that to be ridiculous. Like, people are not complicit in the political actions of their sports team's owners.
Sure, on a rational level, but we're not talking about the rational, right?
Yeah, and that's my whole thing is, like, this idea of, I think we need to be critical sports fans. We got to watch with a degree, like what you just said about football. It's like, I do enjoy football, but it would be, you know, and there may come a time where I can no longer enjoy football. I certainly have friends who've given up the sport because of the head injury issue, because of the cover-ups of violence against women. I mean, public stadium funding. I got friends who've given up football for a million different reasons.
And you live in Washington, D.C., where the name of your team is a racist slur.
I've been to a million demonstrations about that here locally. It's and past petitions and the whole thing. And, you know, and I think actually that would be a huge victory, an anti-racist victory, if we're able to get them to change the name of the team. And I'm just saying that because, like, I do think that sports matters, even though it's irrational. And so things like Tom Brady, his place in the cultural firmament matters.
Queen of England to the hounds of hell. Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the sports editor of The Nation magazine, Dave Zirin. You had written in early September 2015, why at least today we should cheer Tom Brady. And it was talking about whether or not you like the guy, you root for the Patriots, you have to feel that there was injustice in this Deflategate thing. My wife, who could care less about sports, defended Tom Brady to all her friends who were saying, oh, he's a cheater, because she cares about justice. And even though I'm biased, I know about the ideal gas law and I know how the law works. And I know that Tom Brady didn't really get a fair shake, that he was pretty much run over the coals because he destroyed his phone and somehow he was connected to a ball not having enough air pressure.
And you, of course, I agree with you about everything you just said and what your wife says.
And then a week later, Tom Brady was spotted with a Make America Great Again hat in his locker and the knives came out again. So in the USA Today, I was reading a quote that when he distanced himself from it, Brady said, I mean, look, I've known him, Trump, for a long time. He's been a fun guy that I've had a lot of time around. The fact that he's running has obviously led to a lot of stories and debates, and ratings were huge for all those Republican debates and so forth. One way or another, it's so far away from when the election will be. Whatever I vote is going to be my own personal choice based on how I feel. I don't even know what the issues are. I haven't paid attention to politics in a long time. It's actually not something that I really even enjoy. It's way off my radar. So that's not like a Curt Schilling or somebody like a Jay Cutler from the Bears.
No, not at all. Or Peyton Manning, who just spoke at the Republican retreat, what have you.
But I think why Brady is under the lights on this is because he's really, really good at football. And he keeps winning. Like, there are lots and lots of players for lots of other teams that are just as culpable for either being not on the right side of issues in terms of good liberal causes. This is liberal to liberal talking when we say right. But ultimately, no one cares about them because they're not playing in the Super Bowl every year. I mean, it's also important to remember that Trump lost every New England state. So even though he could throw out the fact that, you know, hey, look, Tom Brady likes me, he can do that till the cows come home, he's not liked in the states where Brady is most popular.
Yeah. See, I just got to go back to this point, though, is that it's not about what Tom Brady's saying. It's about what Donald Trump is saying and his use of Tom Brady to deodorize his own agenda. I mean, he mentioned Tom Brady in his inauguration, like the night before the inauguration, for goodness sakes. And, you know, that doesn't, there is complicity there. I mean, especially because that inauguration was so filled with, you know, Q-list celebrities. And I don't care about celebrities at all, but Donald Trump certainly does. And this idea that he has to surround himself with Chachi and, you know, Omarosa and Don King, I think it probably galls him on a very deep level. So to be able to keep invoking Tom Brady at every turn is part of him building up himself. And so that question does have to go to Tom. And he does it much more with Tom Brady than he does with Belichick. And I actually have a suspicion about why that's the case.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, because I heard from somebody who would know that, and I tweeted this the night of, that Belichick was really shocked when Trump read the letter in New Hampshire. And he was like, are you freaking kidding me? Shocked. And he probably said something to Trump about that.
Yeah. Well, so this is about Brady and Belichick's loyalty. They seem to be pretty much good company men and the kind of guys who stick by their friends. And everything I've heard about Tom Brady has been that. I have friends who volunteer at Sarah High in San Mateo and whose kids go there, and he gives to that community, and everybody says he's a great guy.
But wait, when you talk about Belichick, though, we have to say, though, that he is heartless when it comes to players who don't fit the mold of what he's trying to do, even if they've been on the team for a long time. No sentiment. And that's been very successful, but we should say that for the non-football fans listening.
Sure, he's heartless, and I think any good general manager in a salary cap era has to be heartless to be successful. That's one of the reasons why I think he's been good, and I don't think we can impugn the man for a very unfair system, and that's what he's just using that system according to the way it's been set up, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
When we're talking about cutting players.
I think absolutely right. You don't impugn him for working the business exactly as it should be worked. But there's also, a lot of players leave there and say loyalty is a one-way street on this team. People give their heart, soul, and knees and find themselves on the outside looking in. And yeah, that is the way the system is set up.
The one other issue, though, I think that I get from following the Patriots over the years is that they really preach the team. You saw it this year, for example. They traded Jamie Collins, one of the most talented players on their defense, but he didn't fit in with the way they were working as a unit. They traded him for a third-round draft pick to Cleveland, and they have excelled in his absence. They have excelled despite losing very talented players who don't necessarily fit in with their current plans. I think that's fair to say. So Brady always tries to sublimate himself from this. You don't hear him talking about, I had a great game or I did this. He's very politically astute when he talks to the press. He's always trying to pump up his teammates. And football is like the ultimate team sport where I don't think you necessarily have to choose whether I like this guy, the wide receiver from the Jets politics or the punter from the Raiders politics and then choose which team I like. You could just root for that laundry, as Jerry Seinfeld so famously said.
Sure.
And that's where I think picking apart Brady's friendship with Donald Trump kind of unmoors the debate a little bit, because what the Patriots have always been about since this successful run has been this team ethos.
It's not about Tom Brady, it's about Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump wasn't exploiting his friendship with Tom Brady, which clearly makes Tom Brady very uncomfortable, because every time Donald Trump mentions Tom Brady, he gets asked about it, and Tom Brady looks like he's got ants in his pants, and gosh, who could blame him? That's what makes it an issue.
But Dave, now we're basically questioning how other people should approach friendship, albeit very public people, but ultimately, what if personal loyalty means more to these people than politics, which none of them, Trump included, seem to care much about?
You got millions of families right now worried for their lives. It's just, I think we're beyond that, honestly. Like, it would be one thing if people were criticizing Donald Trump for his behavior heading up The Apprentice and Bill was sticking by him. Then it's like, damn, good for Bill. I don't know the real Donald Trump. And I still don't know the real Donald Trump, but I do know, the people on my block who are legitimately nervous right now. Like I was trying to say on this racist Boston sports radio show, like, I do have this church by my house that was spray painted with whites only Trump Nation, and this old lady was pushed around.
Oh, I heard that. They wanted you to suspect that some liberals may have done it.
Yeah, that was their response. It was a lot of empathy on their part. It was nice.
That was very kind, yes. No, I mean, it's horrifying. You're not going to get any arguments out of me on what's happening into our country. And that's part of the reason why I needed to take a little time out from talking about Scott Pruitt as our next EPA head, or looking at sustainability issues or climate change.
You come to D.C. for the April climate change march.
I would love to. My daughter's going to be there with her grandparents right around that time, so maybe she will be raising a flag in my stead.
It's gonna be like 500,000 people. If you come down, you should hit me up.
And you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the sports editor of The Nation magazine, Dave Zirin. So Dave, you're also working on a book about Jim Brown, the Hall of Fame running back from the Cleveland Browns, who's also a very divisive, multifaceted character. Maybe you can give us a little insight into what you've learned about Jim Brown and how maybe we can transpose this into the debate we're having right now about athletes and Donald Trump.
Well, it's interesting because this fits into this conversation in a couple of ways. One is that Jim Brown, as you said, he is supporting Donald Trump, and that flows directly into a lot of the arguments in the book about Jim Brown's politics, And it's not an attack on Jim Brown at all. It's just an attempt to understand it three-dimensionally. Like how someone who is identified with the black freedom struggle of the 60s ends up a Trump voter is a very interesting story. Particularly someone who's held in this high of esteem as Jim Brown is. It's just when you believe that economic justice can be achieved without racial justice, I think you can talk yourself, even as somebody who is against racism, into voting for Donald Trump.
But you've done some really important work in terms of both writing and interviewing the heroes of the 60s. So this was like kind of the first time where athletes decided to become human beings in terms of the public, right? In the late 60s, where they decided to have a voice. And it seems like that's been a debate that America's been having for 50 years now. Do we want our athletes to be humans? Should we be getting our endorsements from these celebrities / entertainers? Does it matter? I thought Brown was kind of a perfect emblem of that, because you didn't see him getting the big endorsements. As Michael Jordan so famously said, Republicans buy Nikes too.
No, you didn't see Jim Brown doing that. You also saw, though, Jim Brown had a very difficult history of violence against, accusations and allegations of violence against women, which is one of the reasons why
he likes Trump.
He likes Trump, and also was held at arm's length from the Obama administration, even though President Obama loved hanging out with people like Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And it's not so much about Jim Brown, it's that athletes are role models, whether we choose to see them as role models or not. They are. And if they're going to be role models, then we should care what they're modeling. And that goes for Tom Brady, that goes for Bill Belichick, that goes for Jim Brown, that goes for Kareem, that goes for Michael Jordan. And I think we have the, not just the right, but the necessity to be critical and have a critical understanding of who these folks are.
So diving back into the Patriots, Tom Brady and our new president, can Pats fans like myself continue to root for their favorite team with a clear conscience, in your opinion?
I would never say it's not okay for anybody to root with their team, just to watch it critically. And not be afraid to criticize Tom Brady. That's the other thing, too, is that you can love the way someone plays football and dislike their politics. That's okay. But I do think some of the way we talk about these athletes sometimes is that any attack on them is an attack on the team, is an attack on someone personally. And it's just not that deep to me. It's like, okay, let's talk about this politically and then let's watch some games.
But this is ultimately guilt by association. Tom Brady has never said anything racist. This is not John Rocker we're talking about, right?
No, nor do I say that. But it is about him understanding what Trump is doing with his name. And, you know, it's like my man Marlo said in The Wire. He said, my name is my name. You know, you got to take that seriously.
It sounded like Belichick may have taken it more seriously and kind of shushed Trump.
That's my inference.
I think that's probably fair. Dave Zirin, he's the sports editor from The Nation, and he has an upcoming book on Jim Brown. And for the environmentalists out there, hopefully all you See Change Radio listeners, he also has a book about Brazil's most recent Olympiad. What's the title, Dave?
Brazil's Dance with the Devil.
And his podcast is Edge of Sports. It's terrific stuff. Dave, thanks so much for being my guest on See Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to See Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Johnny Pearson, The White Stripes, and U2. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to See Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For See Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.